We're live. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the study session of the University City City Council to order at 5:30 on Monday, June the 20th. Before you, you have the regular agenda for tonight's meeting. At this time, are there any changes that you would like to make to the regular agenda? If not, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, good evening or afternoon. Just for the record, my name is Gregory Rose, and I'm the city manager for University City. The city of University City is a $34 million organization, and it is perhaps different from most organizations that people experience in the sense that we have the legal authority to take a life. It provides a diverse group of services ranging from police to fire to trash collections to street repairs, and it has a diverse revenue stream. It has about 300 approximately employees. And those employees are made up of both union and non-union members. Tonight, I intend to present the highlights of the proposed annual operating budget for FY23, as well as the proposed capital improvement program for FY23 through 27. Included in on your desk, you should also have a copy of the work plan for FY22 and 23. And I'm providing that information to you, even though I won't discuss it, primarily just so that you have a reference as to why some of these projects are included in the budget and can understand the nexus between that document as well as the annual operating budget. I'm going to flip through some of these pretty fast so that I can spend more time on the questions that you might have. So the priorities were established based upon that set of priorities that you created. Actually, it's been about 4 or 5 years ago at this point. Ranges from economic development, it includes our employees, encourage high quality growth, and so forth. The structure of the organization I want to highlight for you. I have a deputy city manager who is Brooke Smith, an assistant city manager that is Don Beasley. Those individuals, for the most part, oversee, they operate as a hybrid. So part of their responsibilities is as a director over a particular department. And part of their responsibilities has to do with assisting with projects. And so this organizational structure tells you some of the responsibilities that both the deputy as well as the assistant city manager has. For the assistant city manager, Dawn Beasley, she has oversight of support services, which includes communications, information technology, as well as the print center. Right now, she has responsibility for facilities, and this will be news for her. I'm not so sure that I will remove that at any point. She is also assisting with a project that's an outgrowth of the Loop Area Safety Project, which is the apartment owners managers program that we had our first meeting just last week. And you'll see, I won't spend any additional time on it, but the rest of the departments are outlined and some of their responsibilities as well. This just gives you a sense of what the tax bill is, what your tax rate, how that is developed. This tells you for a home of an assessed value of $38,000. So an average home here, what amount of money goes towards taxes? So each resident with a home assessed value of $38,000 typically pays about $221 annually. Some of the major highlights from this year's budget includes, we're assuming that the property tax rate is going to remain the same as it is from this fiscal year. It recommends a 2% cost of living increase. It creates a debt service fund. And this debt service fund is intended to be utilized for covering the cost associated with financing the renovations of the annex as well as the Trinity building. It increases street maintenance spending. It strengthens the code enforcement operations, continues to focus on economic development, and perhaps should have actually said strengthens our focus on economic development. And it maintains and it exceeds the mandatory general fund balance. And it strengthens our communications, or proposes to strengthen it. If you look at all funds, the ending fund balance proposed for next fiscal year is $16,607,766. This is continues to increase primarily as you see our general fund balance increase. You'll also see the overall fund balance increase as well. This fluctuates somewhat based upon the amount of money that we spend on capital improvements. Some of those are just going to be one-trick ponies, so one-time expenditures. And that's also included in this. This gives you a breakdown of the revenue sources for all funds and gives you the amount and the percentage that we receive. Clearly from this, you can see that sales and use tax are a very high percentage amount at this time. The miscellaneous revenues, as well as other funding sources is predominantly the transfers in to general fund that's reflected here. And I believe that's a little over $6 million that's being proposed this year. The miscellaneous revenue, I provided each of you with a spreadsheet that highlights what's included in that number, and that's from all different funds. And so I'll talk a little bit more about that during the question section. This just gives you a pie chart of the breakdown of the revenues that we receive. Here we start taking a look at the expenditures for all funds. Certainly general fund is what dominates the expenditure. That's where most of the services are funded from. That would be certainly police and fire, public works, parks. So all of those services that we provide, the bulk of them are funded out of general fund. This next slide just gives you a pie chart of the expenditures. Again, general fund being 56.3% of those expenses. I want to start to focus on general fund in particular, because that is where the bulk of the services are financed, and give you some of the highlights. I'm proposing to add one code enforcement officer. If you recall a few years back, I had indicated that we were starting with zero. And so there were no code compliance officers. See, I've already changed the name for you. That focused solely on just code enforcement or environmental type of violations. You have changed that over the years, and you've added two, and this is the third and likely the final officer that I will be proposing for a few years. We're able to get back to the patrol at this point, but the areas are are still too broad. This third person will enable us to reduce the area size that the officers are patrolling. I'm also proposing to add one communications manager. We are looking to improve our performance in keeping our residents informed. And so we hope to have more activity on videos, activities that are going on within the department, a greater focus on emergency responses. So we want to be much more active in getting information out to our residents, which includes the private subdivisions, and having a stronger working relationship with them as we become aware of certain trends. I'm proposing to add one IT employee in the police department, and that's to better manage the data that they have responsibility for. As you can imagine, much of that is extremely sensitive. So we want to have an IT employee that can really be dedicated to police. When that individual does not have projects that he or she is working on, they will be working with us in other departments. So they'll go basically into the pool, and they will assist us with some of the other citywide type of projects. This budget also proposes to separate out our dispatch for fire. We want to reduce the burden that is placed on our dispatchers, and we want to increase the accuracy of when our fire department is dispatched. This budget also proposes, again, the creation of the debt service fund from general fund, proposing an allocation of $200,000 to that fund to cover the debt required for the renovations. The remainder of the funding would come from capital fund, which is $300,000, and proposing a $400,000 transfer from the public safety fund. Proposing to reinstitute the IT generalist position, proposing to fund federal affairs, a contract, and this will assist us with our lobbying efforts, especially for stormwater projects that are upcoming. As you know, the Commission on Stormwater Issues has been working with the Army Corps of Engineers to identify a project which you recently approved that is aimed at reducing flooding here in University City. So the next step for that project is to get federal funding as well as city funding. The federal funding is going to be a heavy lift because we will be competing with projects throughout the entire nation. And so we need to have someone on board that has those relationships that can navigate our existing federal government bureaucracy. Also, not for this meeting, but a future meeting, and perhaps at your upcoming retreat, we'll need to have a discussion about the role that the city will play in stormwater management in the future. I would propose to you that you're likely going to be required to take a leadership role. I don't see the Metropolitan Sewer District doing any more in University City for stormwater management than what they are currently doing, which means that there is a divide that exists that needs to be addressed. This general fund proposed budget also proposes an increase in the reserve fund to 38%, and I will highlight what that has been historically as a part of the question and response section. This next sheet just gives you a breakdown of the revenue sources, sales tax again being the highest revenue sources. Also, again, the financing sources, those are just the transfers that that are being proposed. This just gives you a pie chart of that information. And this next sheet just provides you with a comprehensive list of all of those transfers. One of the revenue sources that's listed in the transfers is the American Rescue Plan. We were fortunate in some ways that we received less than $10 million from ARPA funds, which means that we had the option of simply, for reporting purposes, identifying that we had received the funding and giving a very general explanation of what those funds would be used for. And so what I proposed here, most of those funds are for revenue recovery, and the bulk of them will be used so that we can continue to pay competitive wages and benefits to public safety employees and other employees. This next sheet just provides you with information on the transfers out of general fund to debt service, as well as covering the cost of our fleet operation. This just gives you a listing of all of the expenditures, the different departments that are within the general fund. Public safety is certainly the area that where most of your spending occurs, which is not unusual for cities. This just gives you a pie chart of that information. It shows where police is 33% and fire is 21%. If you include all of public safety, which also would include the court, that increases it by about a percent and a half. The ending fund balance that's being proposed for the general fund is $11,305,170. Again, that's 38% of fund balance if you compare the reserves to the expenditures. I want to highlight, get into the departments and provide you with some of the highlights in the respective departments. Proposing to create the communications position within the city manager's office, continue to fund ROARs for finance, providing funding. This position is funded in this year's budget. Finance Director Keith Cole is looking to actually hire someone for this position. The focus is going to be on budget analysis. The reason for this is that increasingly we need to comb through all of our revenues to ensure that we are receiving every penny. Our economy is unlikely to recover as quickly as what we would have liked, what we all would like to see. I think most economists believe it is not going to be a V-shaped recovery, which makes our insurance that we're receiving all of our revenues even more important. Because I don't see the federal government providing any additional free money in the future as well. Provides also funding for our annual audit. municipal court isn't changing. We're going to maintain the current level of services that we have in that department. For the police department, we're providing the proposing the IT position, also expansion of our gunshot detection program is being proposed, and funding of vehicles, equipment, and replacement. Fire department maintaining the current staffing levels, but I am recommending to you establishing a separate dispatch. For public works, certainly the renovation of the annex and Trinity buildings, proposing to fund that. $1 million is proposed for street maintenance program. Part of that funding is actually coming out of ARPA funds, in part from capital, as well as $500,000 for curb and sidewalk. So the amount of money being proposed this year for those improvements, both the street and the curb and sidewalks, is possible because of ARPA funds. And so ARPA funds are being used for salaries and benefits and for capital projects. But you know, the ARPA funds are one trick ponies. And so we will likely not have these funds available to us next year, which means that this may go down some, but it's not going to go down significantly. We will need to have a more in-depth discussion about the status of our solid waste collection, potential rate increases. I will be proposing that we update the study that was done for solid waste a couple of years ago. I think we're at a point now that we have likely absorbed as much of those expenses as we can. And we have a need to have newer equipment in that area. Proposes funding for a street sweeper replacement and allocates funding for a bridge maintenance. This is actually new bridge maintenance. And this is a result of some of the work that has been done by the Stormwater Commission. Under planning, it proposes that one additional compliance officer will proposing to continue to fund the demolition and board up programs. Up under parks and recreation, proposing to eliminate one park crew leader position, but we're proposing to transfer those funds to maintenance. We intend to contract out for some of the work that this position would have done. It's been about 2 years, I believe, that we've been trying to recruit, cannot find someone with the skill level that's needed for us to be that would be successful. So we're proposing to contract out a lot of those services. Proposing to fund a refuse truck replacement. And many of you may not know that the parks operation actually has a refuse truck. They use that truck to collect the refuse in the different parks that we have. And we were very fortunate that we have that truck available because, as many of you know, a few of our trucks went down about 3 weeks ago where we were really scrambling. We're dealing with supply chain issues, so we can't get them repaired as quickly as we had been in the past. So it's good to have that truck. We're looking at replacing that one. And again, we're looking at replacing one of the main trucks that operates in solid waste. Proposes continued funding for tree pruning and for lighting of the ball fields in Heman Park. Tree replacement, hazardous tree removal. In the summer camp partnership with the University City School District, I wanted to touch on that issue briefly. When I arrived, we had a discussion about our summer camp program and actually what was it achieving. And we did some research because our program was so close to really just being a daycare that we were concerned that it needed to be licensed through the state. We later learned that it did not need to be licensed, but the end result was still the same. What were we really achieving with the summer camp program? It undercut the price of the private sector daycare facilities, but it really didn't add a lot of value in my mind to the children that were participating in it. So when COVID came along, we ended up having to discontinue the program. And that it has not operated for a couple of years. And this year it was not budgeted and it's not proposed for budgeting next year. But even if we had the funding this year, we don't have the staffing to actually operate that program. I've taken a look at what the school district is doing with their tutoring of children in their summer camp program. And I would suspect that most of the children really benefit from that tutoring. So what I will be proposing to you as a part of next fiscal year is that we look at partnering with the school district. And instead of creating our own program, how can we create a program with the school district that enhances what they're doing? Maybe we can partner with them in using some of our facilities that would really enhance what they are doing as well. So the school district has the teachers, so we would be able to have a program that has the tutoring that's needed, but also the recreation component where the school district could perhaps use our gyms or use our pool. So that's what I will be asking you to allow us to explore with the school district. Some of the other funds, I just want to provide a summary for you. For the public safety sales tax, we're anticipating an ending fund balance of about $666,000. For capital improvement, that's going to be about $650,000. For parks and stormwater, this fund balance is higher, but remember, we need to keep in mind that as the stormwater rivet repair project advances, we will need to come up with the city share. So what I'm proposing is that we continue to increase this fund balance so that we can cover that share out of these funds, or we can at least establish a debt service that would cover the funds that are going to be needed for our share of the River to Pier project. The EDRST fund summary, it's going to have an ending balance of about $2.3 million. That will change. I will highlight for you in a couple of minutes what the proposed department structure for economic development is going to be. And so that will end up reducing the fund balance a little. I'll also talk a little bit about some of the projects that that we have in mind. RPA 2 has an proposed ending fund balance. It's actually going to be a little less at this point. If you recall, RPA 2 is being used to cover the cost of relocation assistance for residential property. EDRST funding is being used to cover the relocation cost for commercial properties that continue to want to operate in University City. The American Rescue Plan, or ARPA funds, proposing an ending fund balance of $350,000. We want to identify what repairs are going to be needed for our elevator. And so my intention is to just hold those funds in reserve until we have a better sense of what the amount is going to be, and then use ARPA funds for those improvements. The Economic Development Work Plan for FY23, if you recall, you recently approved or accepted the last year accepted the Economic Development Strategy. In order for us to advance that strategy, we need to have a human infrastructure in place that allows us to advance it. So what I am proposing is the director over that program will be Brooke Smith. She will have responsibilities of not just for economic development, but also for the creation of a housing program citywide and the Third Ward Revitalization Program. In addition, I'll be asking her to develop a minority and women entrepreneur program. So she will end up being quite busy. The two positions that are being proposed, one will cover business retention, the other will cover business expansion and recruitment. And it highlights on this sheet exactly what their responsibilities are. And those responsibilities tie into the economic development strategy that you have accepted. There are some proposed, There are some amendments that I'm proposing as a part of the budget. The addition of two economic development analysts, a proposed eliminating again of the park crew leader position and transferring that to park maintenance contracts, proposing a part-time person for the position on Olive that would do the trash pickup on Olive Boulevard and the equipment that's going to be needed for that to occur. Some of the things that are on the horizon, again, the summer camp program, I think we'll hopefully be able to develop a program for you while working with the school district and bring that back to you. The pandemic is definitely not over. I think our economy is still suffering from that. Again, I don't anticipate that it's going to be a V-shaped recovery, which means we need to make sure that we are in a financial position that we can weather what will continue to be the storm. Inflation, as you probably all know, they're trying to get that under control for this year. It's roughly 8.6%. The increases that are being proposed, the COLA in particular is 2%, but keep in mind that most of our employees will receive a merit increase, and that increase averages about 5% for those employees. That still doesn't get them to 8.6%. But their buying power will only be slightly reduced. And that's only based upon the consumer price index. It proposes funding for the construction renovation of the Annex and Trinity Building. We hope that that starts in October, roughly. Probably we'll end up having to bid that out a couple of times, because of the climate that we're in the construction market. I'll need to bring back to you, hopefully an updated solid waste rate study that will outline why we are challenged in that area. And then talking with you about stormwater management. So So at this point, Well, fortunately, we're at the conclusion. I want to highlight some of the questions that I received from a couple of you and provide those answers so that you are all aware. I received a question about the projected decrease in revenue for Centennial Commons. Centennial Commons revenue is decreasing because we were overly optimistic about the end of COVID for this fiscal year. COVID has not ended, so that's impacting the number of memberships that we have. So we've reduced that number down to what we think will be the actual for this fiscal year. So not just the people that work out, but also the people that visit our pool, and we're not getting the same number of swimmers. And so we think that what we propose is reasonable. There is a question about the two assistants that I have, what the need is for them. I think I've outlined that for you in the organization structure. The issue, I received another question about the position, halftime position for the Olive Street trash pickup. That information has gone to the EDRST board, not just the trash pickup position, but also the two economic development specialists that are being proposed. For the trash pickup, they are in agreement and recommend the concept. We did not know at that time what the actual costs were going to be for the position and the equipment, but they certainly are in agreement with the concept. They were aware of the cost for the economic development positions that are being proposed. The sheet that I provided to you on the structure of economic development was reviewed with the EDRST board. And so they are recommending those positions. They understand that the funding, we will need to come back to them each year to request for them to consider the funding for a recommendation to you as the mayor and council. And I have reviewed the refuse truck replacement in Parks and Recreation, as well as the funds that are coming out of RPA2. A couple of the questions I will talk with the mayor separately about that has to do with the organizational structure. I think some of that, you know, ideally, it would be a different structure in the sense that you'd have assistants that were not directors of departments that would just provide oversight. I think that there are other positions that are needed in the organization at this time, IT position, a code compliance position, but I would certainly ask that you keep that in mind and still realize that we are not operating with the most ideal structure in place. The mayor pointed out, as you know, that there are about 11 people that report to me, and that is not how you would be structured ideally. Ideally, your scope is about 5 people. The ending fund balance, I think I highlighted that for the $16.6 million. That'll continue to fluctuate based upon capital projects, but also as the general fund ending fund balance continues to change. The revenue resources for the miscellaneous at 7.4%, as well as the other funding sources. The other funding sources is primarily the transfers and the other miscellaneous revenues. I provided a spreadsheet to you that outlines each, how that number how we come up with that number. And so if you take a look at that and ask, have any questions, certainly happy to respond to them. The 38% fund balance, how does that compare to past years? In 2019, you had a 34% fund balance. In 2020, it was 37%. In FY21, if you recall, that's when COVID hit, and we did not know about what the federal government was going to do with CARES or ARPA. And so it was at 22%, but you were, that was still above what your minimum requirement, that being 17%, was. In 2022, the funding balance went back up to 36%. And what I'm proposing for next year is 38%. But also keep in mind that ARPA CARES funds, I don't anticipate receiving any of those in future years. So as our economy recovers, you'll still have that fund balance in place to be able to supplement the revenues that come in until our economy has fully recovered. You had a question regarding the other revenue, other financing sources. Those are transfers, and those transfers are detailed within the presentation. And I've talked about the summer camp. So those were all of the questions that I had received before the meeting, and would be happy to respond to any questions that, that you currently have.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. To my colleagues, we'll have probably questions now, and then if we go over, we'll start the regular session and then bring questions up when the resolution is brought forward. But for those who have questions, please hit your button and we'll get started. Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. So this fiscal year budget is going to, there's a lot of different moving parts, particularly when it comes to the point of sale sales taxes, the development, various stores coming online. I imagine that's kind of difficult to project as far as the timeline. So was the baseline revenue projection a very conservative approach?
I don't want to surprise you with bad news. I'm happy to surprise you with good news. And so the worst thing to do is to overestimate what your revenues are going to be. We are not 100% sure when Costco and some of the other stores will actually come online. So we took a very conservative approach to our estimating. So we expect to exceed the sales tax revenues that we have budgeted. But we think that there are solid numbers based upon our economy as it exists today.
Thank you. And then the other question that wasn't covered earlier regarding the separate fire dispatch, I was just kind of wondering what that would look like. How would that, has it, is it far enough along that there's kind of an idea of how it would work?
I believe Chief Henson is here, or one of his representatives, and I would ask him to because he has the most information on it. I have the general, but he can go into more details than what I can and share kind of some of the insight into how it would work. Chief Henson.
I'm sorry, I only heard part of the back there, the air conditioning was running.
I was just curious. I know this was something that we did talk about in a previous meeting about the need for emergency medical training with dispatchers, but how would a separate fire dispatch kind of work in theory and practice?
Well, there's several aspects to going to the other dispatch center for fire. One, they're specifically trained on fire and EMS, so they do the emergency medical dispatching on every call. They never. They also have what they call the. Forget the exact name of it, but the mutual aid is immediate and mutual aid response. So like right now, we take the call, we ask who's available out there from other companies that mutual aid us, and they are ask if they can send a truck. So a lot of times we're not making our ISO requirements to have a truck, certain amount of people on scene at a certain time, because it takes so long to go through all that process when you're calling three or four different agencies to ask if their truck's available. And if they're not, then you ask the next one. This is all computer automated. They know which trucks are available, and they are simultaneously dispatched to our town the same exact time we are. So the computer programs know that. They are also the command center statewide for any large incident system that we may be involved in. The 800 megahertz through our system is not working so well. It's kind of an antiquated system. And in all honesty, to upgrade our system to meet the national standards would be a lot more than going to this agency.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. While Chief Henson is still up, maybe to follow up on Councilmember Hale's question about the additional dispatcher, separating the dispatchers, what about equipment? Will this require additional outlays for equipment, or will they be using the same equipment?
What they have here in University City, they'll receive the call. If they say, I need the fire department or an ambulance, they push a button.
I guess I should be more specific. Dispatching equipment, not vehicles, but the actual dispatching equipment itself.
When if we go to this other dispatch agency, they will come in, run all new fiber optics, put in dispatch display panels with mapping systems. They put it in the trucks. It'd be all trucks. It'd be on all phones. It'd be on all computers, on the wall in the engine houses, so that, in all honesty, the call will come up simultaneously on the board that will be visible to the men and women as the tones are going off. They will actually have the information and be able to read it as it's coming out. Plus, it's on the trucks along with the best directions. Not to mention, you can see every truck that's coming to the call. So the command officer on the scene will be able to know which trucks are coming in and give them assignments ahead of time, instead of saying the next truck in, do this, the next truck in, do that, which at this time is kind of difficult because no one knows who the next truck in is when they're coming in, especially when it's mutual aid companies. So they get there and they're receiving assignments where they'll be able to have them beforehand with this system. And along with this tracking system, if we have a truck that's at 170 and Olive, in all honesty, if the call is across 170 on Olive, which is Olivet's venue, it picks the closest truck. So we will respond to an incident there just as much as they will respond to an incident here. Now, it also kicks them out because it's their venue, but it always sends the closest vehicles.
Okay, and so I guess what I'm looking for is, will there be an additional outlay of funds to cover the cost of dispatching equipment?
No, that's all included in the price. That's all included in the price.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could, I have two more questions. Not of Chief Henson, Mr. Williams. Thank you, Chief.
Councilmember Cusick, if I could follow up while the chief is up so he doesn't go back, if that's can I cut in. I really just want you to get your 10,000 steps in walking up and down the aisle. But I guess I've got to follow up with Councilmember Cusick because I'm not understanding. I understand we are having the budget a part-time for dispatch, but where is the equipment coming from, or is it already there? Or that's the part I'm not getting.
The equipment, when we sign a contract with Central County Dispatch, they come in and install the equipment into the engine houses.
And so if we're signing a contract with them, what is the additional cost of a contract with them versus what we're paying now? I'm just more curious because we're getting a service, we got to be paying for it.
Well, I can tell you one of the things is to put the 800 megahertz dispatch system into the engine houses, St. Louis County has already allocated the money for that out of the ARPA funds and such to put in every engine house, but they didn't do it for the dispatch centers. So it'd be 80,000, around 86,000 to put it into our dispatch center. Now, to go along with that, you have to have the program, which I think we looked at, and it was right around $500,000 for the program we were looking at. And then you're talking 140,000 renewal a year, plus close to 65,000 for storage. Just annual recurring cost is almost the exact same as going to another dispatch center that specializes in this.
Okay, I guess I get that, but where's the number? That's all I want to know. But mine is if it's close to the number, since where is there something, you don't have to give it to us tonight, but if we're bringing in dispatch and we're using the county system, and I get all of that. I think that just following up on Mr. Cusick's question, it would be good to see, here's what we would have paid and here's what the contract pays. And yes, it's neutral. I mean, if it's sure, revenue neutral, I think that's all great. Even if it's not revenue neutral and it keeps our citizens safe, I think we're probably all good for it. I think it would be good if someone could just share with us what that was.
Sure, no problem. We can get the numbers together for you.
Now, just does anyone else have a question for the chief just before he sits down?
Thank you, Mayor Crow. One more question, Chief Henson. Where will this dispatch person be located? Will this person be in one of the firehouses?
It's actually a Central County Dispatch Agency. They dispatch for most of St. Louis County. It's not particularly a person, but an agency. It's a separate agency that handles dispatching for all police and fire, or all fire and EMS, I should say. They're not police dispatchers. They specialize in fire and EMS. So it's an actual agency, a building, a safe location. They have backup systems to where if anything happens, it's automatically online. They run the repeater system through St. Louis County for all the radios and such.
So in essence, could we say then we're outsourcing this dispatching capabilities?
Yes. We had looked at it years ago, and we had done it for a while. And the one thing we're looking at is increasing our response times and staying within our ISO ratings. And with University City, police and fire, we are the busiest anywhere. When we looked into going to the Central County, or not Central County, but East Central Dispatch, they didn't even want it because they do police and fire, but they didn't want us because between the two police and fire here in University City, we run more calls than all the other nine agencies they dispatch for put together. So part of the answer to your question is they're very busy in the police dispatch. So, it can wind up being a backlog, and with being able to split to a specialized fire and EMS dispatch, you decrease the backlog for our police officers and you increase the response times for the fire department.
Okay. And then another follow-up question, is there, since the dispatching capabilities from the fire department and EMS will be separate from the police department, what mechanism is in place so that if our EMS or fire department is dispatched, that the police are aware of what's going on, since they will be separate now?
When they push that button, the dispatcher picks up in Central County. They're still monitoring the call. They listen to the call and they send the police department.
Thank you.
So they're all still on the line together. Just when it's fire and EMS, that dispatch takes over. And the unique thing about them is, and it is nothing against our guys at all. They're busy. And in Central County, two dispatchers take the call. One is they're talking, the other one's listening in, and they're actually putting out the call as the call is coming in. Our police dispatch doesn't have that ability just simply because there are so many calls coming in and they're very busy. So one dispatcher takes a call and then puts a call out.
Thank you.
Mr. Smotherson, is yours for Mr. for the chief or not?
No,
okay.
No.
Mr. Kuzik, do you have more questions? Okay.
Yes, sir, I do, Mayor. Thank you. Mr. Rose, save me from the mathematical headache. On page 10 of the handout, there's a this is concerning the golf course, and it states that the expenditures for the golf course are approximately $1.1 million. And then on page 16, the transfer in fund for the golf course, I believe, is $73,000. Why is there such a discrepancy in that? And I'm sure there's a logical explanation, but could you save me from doing the math, please?
The transfers in is the amount of money that the golf course actually sends to general fund. I don't know if it's, well, the golf course has two payments that it makes to general fund. One has to do with a loan that was provided to the golf course, and then the other has to do with the overhead cost. So when our human resources, when we need to hire people for the golf course, or let's say someone at the golf course hits a car with a golf ball and we now have a legal issue, the cost for having the administration over the golf course. So all of those overhead costs, the golf course reimburses general fund for. And in addition to that, a few years ago, you provided the golf course with a loan because it was not it was not in a strong financial position that it's also paying back. So that's the transfers that are coming out of the golf course. The other expenditures has more to do with the golf course employees, just the day-to-day operations that's within the golf course, and that's where those costs come in.
Thank you. So can we say that the golf course is operating in the black right now?
Yeah, the golf course actually has a healthy fund. It operates in the black with the use of some of your parks and stormwater funds because the golf course is still within a park. And so if you separate out, let's say you didn't use any park and stormwater funds to cover costs for the golf course, then no, it would not operate in the back. So sales tax is still subsidizing that operation.
And then, so would you be able to give us a quick response as to how much it would be operating in and of itself in the red then?
We would have to run the numbers and extract out the amount that we're using for parks and stormwaters from capital. And so I couldn't do that, you know, now, but we can provide that information later to you.
And do we have any design to get to the golf course to be operating on its own in the black, or is it just always going to be essentially a money loser for us?
Golf courses are just historically a money pit. I mean, that's just for municipal courses. That's just how they operate. I think we can get it closer to covering all of its cost, but it needs major. Even if we increase the amount of revenues, which you recently did, one of the challenges is that, you know, we are in competition in the market. So we have to be very aware of how we're pricing our course compared to how other jurisdictions are pricing theirs. And so I think we can continue to look at that and try to get it closer to where you won't be using park and stormwater funds in order to offset some of their costs. I'm not sure that you will ever get to the point where it will be fully in the black.
And that's understandable. And then may I do one final question?
You may. We need to start the regular meeting. So, yes.
On page 27, and you talk about the $1 million, $1 million, a fund. Funds $1 million street maintenance program. Is this in addition to funds that are already set aside for street maintenance, or is this just what the operating budget will be for all of street maintenance?
That's what the operating budget, what the capital budget will be for street maintenance. Now you have other projects that are within the street program that are, let's say, Pershing or Westgate, for example. Those are separate projects. This is the overlay. This is the curb and gutter. But this is like the pothole repair. So all of those improvements are included in that $1 million.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor.
If it's okay, since we need to start the regular meeting, Mr. Smotherson will start our questions during the regular meeting with you. And Mr. Rose, thank you very much. The study session is now adjourned, and we will begin the regular meeting when Mike tells us that we can get it started. Thank you.